This is 21st Century Reformation at 21stcr.org.
The title of it is Jesus, Master and Messiah. What does the New Testament overwhelmingly say about our Master and Messiah? In the Bible, Christ occurs in the New Testament. I think the lemma of Christos is 516 times, over 500 times. So we're going to have to walk through this together. If we have about an hour, that's only about 2 minutes a page, so we're not going to read everything in there. You know, there should be no confusion. The simplicity of the Word of God in the New Testament is so great. You know, I've been on the Yahweh understanding, and that's so clear. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Yahad. Six simple words, and we have totally messed it up. And on Jesus, we've obfuscated the nature of Jesus and all those other things. And I want to walk very quickly, and this is a kind of a summary of a class we're doing at Atlanta Bible College on the Master and Messiah. If you follow Scripture, and I was talking about this with Bill. Where's Bill? Is Bill in the audience this morning? There's Bill. Talking at supper last night. If you take the simple Scripture, this is very clear. Otherwise, you're going to mess up. Turn over to the first page, page 2, and this is just what God said. I would think if you want to know who Jesus is, you might ask his daddy. If you want to know all the trouble that I've been in, talk to George Eliot Martin from Pumpkin Center, Louisiana. He will tell you some stuff you don't want to hear, probably. But look at this, Matthew 3:17. Behold, a voice out of the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I walked through that many times, and there are, I think there are 11 verses there where it's specifically God Almighty talking about his Son. Look at Mark 7, the repetition of the same thing. Then a cloud formed overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." That was at the Transfiguration. So you have God intervening in human history, cutting into space and time, or whatever he does to show up at the baptism of Jesus, and God Almighty said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And then at the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John, Moses, and Elijah in vision show up, and God himself affirms Jesus, "This is my beloved Son," and he adds those three little words, "Listen to him." Anybody remember what the end of Deuteronomy 18:18 is? "The Lord God will raise up a prophet like unto Moses, and you shall hearken unto him, listen to him. And if you don't," this is God talking, "I myself will call you to account." This is God Almighty talking about his Son. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so this is so clear. You walk on down, and it talks about sometimes the references from my Son, like Matthew 2:15, he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken of the Lord through the prophet out of Egypt. "I called my Son." Not only did he call the nation of Israel, but he called his only birthed Son out of Egypt as well. That is so cool. And in Hebrews, it talks about Psalm 2 as well. "For to which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you'? And again, I will be your father to him, and he shall be a son to me.'" Is that clear? Crystal clear, isn't it? It is absolutely clear. Another thing I did with the Bible Works thing that Dustin and Sean Finnegan and I and others are using a lot, Anthony uses, I looked up "of God." Have you ever done that? This is just type in, you put in a little quote and you just type in "of God." We could have Sarah do it today, but let's don't go there. Take too much time. But you could type it in, "of God." It occurs 500, you might want to write this down, 529 times "of God" occurs in the New Testament. And there they are. I listed them all. I use the NASB. And so when you say NAU, that's NASB updated. And so I wrote them all down. And the ones about Jesus are in yellow there. The ones about Jesus, I think, he's the beloved of God, born of God, bread of God, Christ of God, form of God, fullness of God, gift of God, glory of God, grace of God, Holy One of God, the image of God, the Lamb of God, the likeness of God, the mystery of God, the power of God, the right hand of God, the salvation of God, the servant of God, the Son of God, the truth of God, the wisdom of God, and the Word of God. What does it not say? It doesn't say he's God. He says he's all of these things of God. Is it crystal clear or what? That is so clear. Now, Abrahamic faith, folks, look on the lower right. I listed the top 12 things of God in the New Testament. On the lower right page, the kingdom of God is the top major issue. This is the main thing on Jesus' lips and should be a main thing on our lips as well. The kingdom of God, word of God, son of God, will of God, grace of God, right hand of God, love of God, children of God, sight of God, glory of God. Uh-oh, there's a tough one. The wrath of God and church of God. Those are the top 12 of God's in the New Testament. But it is clear. And I flipped a page, and on the back side, I've listed them again. I think I missed a couple, but you can do this yourself. Just type in of God 529, go down. Jesus is all these things of God. He's the exact representation. I think the Greek is character there, isn't it? And one of those Greek folks, you know, so he's the exact representation, the fullness of God. The Bible says God was in Christ. It never said God was Christ. And so this just is, to me, is absolutely clear. Christ is of God. There's no doubt about it. And so how did this go? Go on to the next page. The Son of Man. You know, we believe, and we talked about the proto-evangelion yesterday, that Jesus was the seed of the woman that was to come. We believe in the epangelia, the promises of God. And the first promise after the first sin was God's going to deal with sin by a seed of the woman. That means only birth, monogenes, which is the favorite term in the New Testament about Jesus in the famous verse, John 3:16, the only birth Son of God. It doesn't get any clearer than that. And to represent himself to humanity and to us, Jesus affirms that the favorite term for Jesus of himself is Son of Man, 88 times in Scripture. Let's read Matthew 9:6. But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, pick up your bed and go home. Matthew 16:27. Jump on down. For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then repay every man according to his deed. There is absolutely no confusion of this. Jesus is the Son of Man, the only begotten human being born of God, the perfect sinless Son of God, and Scripture is absolutely clear. Jesus did not grasp at equality with God, we're told by Paul. And he just humbled himself, didn't go around for a show. He didn't put on a show to the Pharisees, well, show us a sign. No, he healed people. If you were there, you could see it. But if you were just coming to abuse Jesus, he wouldn't have anything to do with you. You know, the only sign you're going to get is the sign of Jonah. Let's look at Matthew 26:63-64. But Jesus kept silent. They were harassing him. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us whether you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So Jesus affirmed as the Son of Man, he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Flip to page again. And you have a whole 88 verses covers a lot of material. What I wanted to do for you is for you to be able to take this home, maybe have a Bible study on it, and just show that Jesus is clearly your master and Messiah, the Christ of God. This Jesus, you know, Peter tells in the Sermon on Pentecost, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. Master and Messiah. God made him that way. God birthed him for that purpose. God caused it to happen. Also, on page 7, you have Son of God. Son of God occurs in the New Testament 43 times. The only one that is not Jesus is Luke 3, 38, where it says, Son of Enosh, Son of Seth, Son of Adam, Son of God. Adam is a son of God. He is a created son of God. And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, living soul. So the first thing Adam saw was the face of Almighty God, Yahweh El Shaddai. Think about it. And when he birthed Jesus, he didn't create him again. He made a second Adam through the descendancy of the first Adam, but a totally new Adam, the second Adam, the Son of God. What was I going to read there? I was going to read something for you. Well, so, Son of God. Let's read Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. God didn't have sex with Mary. And so we were talking to Robin about that. Where do we fit in all of this? You know, we're not traditionalists. Oh, Jesus has always existed as the second person of the triune God. No. And we're not Aryan. You know, Jesus was the first created of all creation. No, he was in the plan of God, mental preexistence, a logos just like wisdom, and he came into existence at his birth according to this scripture. Amen? Amen. He said, you know, and so the Holy Spirit, for that reason, he was called the Son of God. And the perfect sinless, you know, we got into a discussion about the blood of Jesus the other day. And it's my physiological understanding from my wife, who's a nurse, and that the blood of the fetus doesn't ever mix with the blood of the mother. Now, the nutrition does. I see some heads shaking. And so Jesus had new blood, and I think it was a perfect sinless blood that is able to offer the sacrifice once and for all, Hebrews said, for all of us. Amen? It's really cool. And there was a discussion about this Son of God stuff, because remember, in the mythology of that world, and you take it all the way back to Babylon, you take it especially down to Egypt, and on the last page you have a Rosetta Stone where they were calling people gods and sons of God, and Ptolemy VI was the son of Ra, and all of that baloney. And then the Greeks come along. And Alexander the Great starts liking that thing. Oh, you're the Son of God. Some people were calling Alexander the Great, when he conquered Egypt, the Son of God. Well, he used that term. By the way, he died. It's 33, right? I think because of blasphemy, you know, making himself God. I don't know. Maybe I'm going wrong historically there, Kent. But I think he died of blasphemy. He liked his generals calling him God. Well, goodbye, Alexander the Great. And so they would come to Jesus, and especially in John 10, we'll read at the bottom of your page, John 10, 36. And they said, your father is God. You're claiming equality with God. And he went over the whole thing about God, and we did that very well in the sod lesson yesterday. I really appreciate it. That was super. That was very good. In the sod lesson, we learned there are Elohim, you know, and Moses, Exodus 7:1, was called God to Pharaoh. So we know the agent of God. So Jesus goes over this in John 10, but the ultimate verse, he, you know, in subordination, he says, do you say of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you're blaspheming? Because I said, I'm the Son of God. Clear as crystal on this, folks. There should be no discussion about this. There should be no problem with this. I'm turning the page to Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, Therefore, page 8, middle of the page, Hebrews 4:14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Isn't that beautiful? And notice again, the last verse that you have in this section, Revelation 2:18. I love the letters to the churches, and I've done this in several churches. It adds up for the seeker. Jesus in the letters to the churches, red letter, every first verse is about who he is. He walks among the churches. He died. I didn't think God could die. Well, Jesus did. He has a sharp double-edged sword, but Revelation 2:18 says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this. So he acknowledged himself in John 10:36, I said, I'm the Son of God. I am the Son of God. And you go through that situation. Now he's in charge of the stars, which are the angels, and the churches. And then he has a key of David, and he's the ruler or the beginning of God's new creation. This is the Jesus we honor. This is the Jesus that we exalt. Amen? He's not Yahweh. I don't know where people, you know, I had some guy tell me that the other day, and I just almost went ballistic on him. My Martin multi-generational dysfunction from Pumpkin Center, Louisiana, almost, what do you mean? How can that be? He said he's the Son of God. How can he be God? Okay, so anyway. Page 9, Matthew 11:27. Did you know Jesus spoke of in the New Testament, the term, type it in, quotes, my Father occurs 43 times. Jerry, 43 times. 40 of those times, and I highlighted the three times that they weren't about Jesus, 40 times it's on the lips about his daddy. John, 40 times it's on the lips about his Father in heaven. Look at that. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. How did that birth happen? I'm not sure how that birth happened. Well, I can talk to Rebecca, and I talked to Dr. Gene Davis, and there's something about a spirogenity of the egg, and I don't know how it happened, but I know he's the only birthed Son of God. Amen? This is so clear. 40 times on the lips of Jesus, he's talking about my Father. Turn over to John, the next page, page 10, about four down, John 8:54. Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he's our God. So the Jewish monotheistic God, Yahweh El Shaddai, is the Father of Jesus according to Jesus' own words. Remember his prayer in the garden? It was at John 12. Father, glorify your name. Father, the hour's come. Glorify your name. And the voice comes the third time, Wade, the third time saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it because I'm your good daddy, brother. That is so cool that God acknowledges his Son a third time verbally from heaven. I will glorify. And Jesus says, that's the God that you're supposed to be worshiping. Not me, not humankind. And the coup d'etat, or whatever that French is. I'm not French on that, Anthony. But John 20:17. Go down to the bottom of that page. John 20:17. Does it get any clearer than this? Jesus said to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to the brothers and say to them, I ascended to my Father and your Father and my God and your God. It doesn't get any better than that. Amen. It does. Amen. Thank you there, young man. Amen. I got a amen corner over here. Hallelujah. Praise God. On page 11, you have an appendix on the Christ. So Christ, Christos, the lemma, is over 500 times. And then you have Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. Did you know that? You got Christ Jesus and Jesus Christ. And then you have the Christ. Okay, here's all you smart alecks out there. I didn't know this. I had to learn this. What does Paul use most, Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus?
Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus. You can write this number down. 90 times in the letters of Paul, he uses the term Christ Jesus. He's a good Jew, acknowledges it's like King Jesus, Ray. King Jesus, Messiah Jesus. He's a good Jew acknowledging who Jesus the Christ is. So Paul says Christ Jesus 90 times, folks. Here's an addendum on that. He says Jesus Christ 79 times. Write that down. 79 times Jesus Christ. And so a lot of the scholars who've done this, some of this work, N.T. Wright and others, who are really focusing on Paul, saying Paul uses the term Lord to distinguish Jesus from the Lord God Almighty quite often. And out of those 79 times that he says Jesus Christ, he has the addendum 50 times. 50 times Paul says the Lord Jesus Christ to distinguish him in good Jewish fashion from Almighty God. 50 times the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, that is so cool. And so look at Luke 9:20, almost in the middle of the page. And you know, in some translations, Peter is saying this and Peter is saying that. And he said to them, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. The Christ of God. The Messiah of God. Whose Messiah is it? It's God's Messiah. This Jesus whom you crucified, Peter tells the Pharisees and all those at the Pentecost, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, your master and Messiah. And they didn't understand all of this. Go on down. Remember, he had to kind of rebuke them in Luke 24. Go down to Luke 24, verse 46. He was kind of, you know, getting on their case. Why didn't you know that everything written about me must be fulfilled in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalm? Thus it is written that the Christ, the Messiah, would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. Didn't you know? You should have read the Old Testament a little better. He's getting on the 12 apostles. That's pretty cool. Page 12 is about the Lord Jesus Christ. So with the article and with the, you know, adjective Lord and the adjective Christ, it comes together 22 perfect times, I think. And notice how Paul and Joel Hemphill in his book, God and Jesus, big red letters on the back page, God and Jesus, God and Jesus, God and over 400 times, there's a clear distinction between God and Jesus in the New Testament. Let's read a couple of those. Every one of Paul's letters starts out with that. Romans 1:7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called of saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jump on down to like 1 Thessalonians 1:1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church in the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went over mine and I highlighted every one of those. God and Jesus. It is crystal clear, folks. Who are you? Who? We're going to get better. I'm going to get better, Jeremy. You're already good, but I'm going to get better at that. Who are you? Who? I really want to know. So if you want to know, just read the Bible. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. On page 13, you have put in a little appendix about my God. Dan, or you, or someone, does Jesus have a God? Well, yes, he does. He's called Yahweh, Yahweh El Shaddai, Yahweh Shabbat, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. And it's 10 times on the lips of Jesus in the New Testament. Now, he's quoting Psalm 22 on the cross, right? Please, if you ever hear someone say some theory about what Jesus meant, read the whole psalm. Jesus had done it. And in the end, he has not forsaken me. He's going to deliver me from this. But he is crying out, my God, my God. Who in the world is he talking to if not the Father in heaven? Amen? It's pretty clear. And we've read most of those, but go down to Revelation 3:12. This is just like the killer verse for biblical Unitarianism. This is like the killer verse. It's like John 20:17 and 1 Timothy 2:5, 1 Corinthians 8:6. This is like, here's Dustin's Nikeo. He who overcomes, who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out from it anymore, not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down of heaven from my God, and my new name too. It doesn't get any more translucent, man, clear. It's like a pane of glass. You can see right through the scripture to the real Jesus. You know, just quote Revelation 3:12. This is the victory that you're going to have. You're going to be a pillar in the temple of Jesus is God, Yahweh El Shaddai. You're going to have the name of Yahweh El Shaddai. Now, we're all wondering, you know, how does it go? Is it going to be old Hebrew or modern Bach Hebrew? Or how is it going to be written? Well, just wait. You'll find out. Jesus will write it on your head, I guess. I don't know. And the New Jerusalem, the city of my God, coming out of heaven from my God. That's our hope. I, John, saw the New Jerusalem coming down from heaven out of God, right? From God. Saw the New Jerusalem. The pearly gates are going to be on the earth. That's I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, and where are the pearly gates? Well, they're going to be on the earth. The New Jerusalem has the pearly gates. It's going to be on the earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And this is the most fundamental one on page 14. Right hand. Johnny, you're 7 years old. Where is Jesus now? Well, let me look. You can use your New Testament. Oh, he's at the right hand of God. 22 times. You know, from Psalm 110:1, Yahweh said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. 22 times. There should be no obfuscation on this point. I numbered mine. I counted all the way down 22 times. Now, the last one, Revelation 5:1, is about Jesus taking the scroll from the right hand. But if I'm taking the scroll from the right hand, I may need to be on the right hand to get the right hand scroll. I don't know, but you play with that a little bit. But it works, doesn't it? It works. Let's just read one of those, like Acts 7:55. And 56. This is Stephen. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Bob, it doesn't get any better than that, man. Even in Monroe, Louisiana, or Pumpkin Center. Acts 7:56. And he said, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. It is crystal clear as the vision of Stephen. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Hebrews quotes this. Look at 8:1. Hebrews 8:1 down at the bottom of the page. Now the main point. Let the main thing be the main thing. Now, the main point of what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens. We have a super high priest. And he sat down at the right hand of Almighty God. Where is Jesus? Right hand. Crystal clear. How about on page 15? Sent me. If your daddy, I should talk to Jim Rich. If your daddy said, Jim, go out in the back and cut that tree down. How many times would he have to say it? Just once. Don't let me tell you twice. I better not have to tell you that again.
They started talking after one.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to the woodshed, Jim would come. Look at this. 33 times, Jesus acknowledges that his Father sent him. He's not doing this on his own. He's not usurping God's glory. You know, he is in the glory of the Father. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, it says Dennis, in His glory, He's going to have glory, as Joel Hempel's book, To God Be the Glory. But Jesus has the glory too. And so when Jesus comes, He's going to have glory. But the Father sent Him 33 times. This is so cool. I don't know which one to pick out. Jump down to 8:16. But if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I'm not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. I and the Father. And Jesus distinguishes Himself from the Father. You know, in the Old Testament, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. Well, He says He's one witness and the Father's another witness. So there's two people, not one together. John 8:18. I am He who testifies about Myself. What did He say about Himself? I am the Son of God. And the Father who sent Me testifies about Me. What did the Father say? This is My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Amen. Crystal clear. Amen? Wow. Wow. Turn the page over to 16, and in the middle of the page, I just want to remind you what the Lord Jesus Christ said. John 13:16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater, a servant is not greater. I've been doing these heavy studies out of the Evid Yahweh, Isaiah 42, 49, 50, 52, 53. The servant of God. You know, I formed you in the womb. I put My Spirit in you. I've called you. And so it's too small a thing that you sacrifice for Judah and Israel. I'm sending you to the, I want your My salvation to go to the ends of the earth, Isaiah 49:6. So Jesus is the servant of Yahweh. Truly I say to you, a servant or slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. So Jesus says that his daddy who sent him is greater than he is. And He says that several times. My Father is greater than I. Crystal clear, isn't it? Amen? And we talked about this at the table last night. We were having this discussion. And Bill Gilmore said, what about God raising him? I said, that's it, Bill. I got a page, whole page for you. Here it is, page 17. But God raised him. Acts 2:24. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Acts 2:32. This Jesus God raised up again, in which we are all witnesses. I'm going to quote 2:36 there too. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. God raised him. God raised him. God I counted, I think, 18 times. Jump on down to Galatians 1:1. Third one from the bottom of the page. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Amen. So clear. So clear. 1 Peter 1:21, good Jewish thought, who through him, it's always dia, through Christ, we receive these blessings. Through him are believers in God who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. I believe, and I can skip the first paragraph, except for the middle, I believe 16 centuries ago, the Emperor Constantine walked into Nicaea in golden pomp and circumstance, quoted Plato and Socrates and many, 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 many Greek philosophers. And I think Joel said the Bible once, maybe, or twice, maybe. And he did similarly to the theological, Christological reservoir of Christianity. Things have not truly been the same since. You know, is there any way to recover this? And I say, yes, the Bible, the Word of God. I think the Bible has caused a turnaround. And we were talking last night, a lot of these people that were my professors, like Dr. Guthrie, Dr. Martin, Dr. Ladd at Fuller, Dr. Colin Brown, they know. They know they're getting close to the real Jesus because the Word makes it very clear. The Word makes it very clear. You've read those verses. They can read those verses. The Word makes it very clear. You know, so you can come to this. Statistically, theos occurs 1,300 times. You know my God talk. If you haven't heard the literal name of God, Yahweh occurs 6,828 times. You shouldn't be confusing that. And God, 3,000 times. In the New Testament, about 700 times it talks about Lord, Kyrios, and so on and so forth. It became not only the God of the Old Testament, but also Jesus, the emperor, the angels, and so on. Now one needs to distinguish between the Lord God and the Lord Jesus, as Paul clearly did, saying Christ Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ. But within Jewish monotheism, and this is a scholarly work, I got five books listed in the back that I want you to take home and do your homework with. These scholars are understanding Jesus as the Son of God, as the agent of God, the Shaliach of God, and saying he's the Son of God does not confuse Jewish monotheism. Within Jewish monotheism, angels, wisdom, Torah, word debar, the later Hellenistic notion of Logos, were allowed to be Shaliach or agents of Yahweh. But the confusion in the New Testament theology among Orthodox circles became so great that many are confusing Jesus with Yahweh. Is this in some way intolerable? And I say yes. And I have quotes from scholars. C.K. Barrett says, this is intolerable to equate Jesus as Yahweh. No, he's the Son of God. Who are you? Who? And they're not, if you've seen CSI Las Vegas. Now, Robin, you watch TV. I heard you sing that ditty. So have you ever seen CSI Miami? What's their song? We won't be fooled again. That's another. I didn't do that too well, did I, Jerry? And so will we not be fooled again like Constantine fooled us, like the councils have fooled us? So we need to think. In the New Testament, the first person they ask, who are you, is John. He said, I am not the Christ. Well, who are you? He says, man, I'm just a voice of the crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Now, don't confuse that. Prepare the way of Yahweh. And what did they say on Palm Sunday? I guess I'm on page 22. They wanted to know sincerely if he considered himself Messiah, pressing him. He found a verse in Isaiah. I'm just making the way of the Lord. That could be confusing, but the crowds on Palm Sunday seem to have it right. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So Jesus does come in the name of the Lord, Yahweh. He is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember that old television series, To Tell the Truth? Now, we may have to go back even before Sharon's time. But it used to be on TV. Will the real Roy Rogers please stand up? You know, they had four panelists and then a moderator and then three people who said, I am Roy Rogers. I am Roy Rogers. I am Roy Rogers. And the panelists would ask them, can't remember that at all? Okay. They would ask them questions and then at the end, it was finally, will the real whoever, Roy Rogers or whoever it is, please stand up? And they would kind of bob. And finally, one stood up and they would all laugh, you know. I think the guy who would catch me if you can, Frank Abagnale, was on there one time. And that's, if you ever want to see a cool YouTube, check out Frank Abagnale. Now, he's an old man with long gray hair, but it is cool. At the end of that YouTube video, he says, now, let me tell you why it happened to me that I ran off and became all. At 16, his mother and father got a divorce. He says, I ran away. My total world was destroyed. And so he's a very funny guy. Frank Abagnale, Abagnale, YouTube. Watch it part one and part two. It's the best YouTube, I see. Funny, but in the end, he drives home the point. Parents, work it out. Kind of like that. So anyway, will the real Frank Abagnale please stand up? You know. Okay. And the Pharisees at one scene got frustrated. Jesus, who are you? Who are you? And he taught in the temple and he said, I go away and you will seek me and you can't come. Surely he will not kill himself, they said. He said, I can't come. And Jesus said, verse 23, you're from below, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. Therefore, I said to you, you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, who are you? And Jesus said, what have I been saying all along? He talked about who he was from day one. I mean, if they would have been at the baptism, they would have heard the voice, Sister Rachel. They would have heard the voice, "This is my beloved son." If they had walked and been with Jesus, there were clear statements. You know, John sent to ask Jesus, "Are you the expected one?" Matthew 11. "Or should we look for another?" And Jesus said, "Look around, see what's happening. This is what Messiah was supposed to do." Isaiah 61. Heal the brokenhearted, bind the, release the prisoners. The high priest said, Pilate asked, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus never denied it, Brother Dan. Mm-mm. Now all these accusations about you said you're going to... He opened his mouth like a lamb led to the... Opened not his mouth like a lamb led to the slaughter. But when it got to who he was, he never denied his identity. The high priest said, "Are you the Christ, the blessed one?" In Luke 22:70, all are asking, "Are you the Son of God?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." He never denied who he was. He was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God. Even the thief on the cross jumped in. I think this is kind of funny. Weird funny in a pumpkin center weird way. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and me too." They're on the cross and agony's going on. "Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Well, I've been crying out too. And they thought Jesus calling God Father was making himself equal with God. Top of 23. In the song, "Who are you? I counted 19 times, Blake, that they asked that question. 19 times. Where'd he go? Must have. 19 times. "Who are you?" Maybe the Pharisees should have been persistent. If they had been at the water of baptism, they would have heard. If they had been at the Mount of Transfiguration, they would have heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to them." If they had been in the garden, they would have heard the voice of God. Peter walking along, Jesus asked him, "Who do they say I am?" Well, he's John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. "But who do you? Who do you say I am? I really want to know." And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. It doesn't get any better than that. Wow. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King." So Messiah, King, all goes together. Mashiach, anoint. Samuel anointed David. Samuel anointed the king. Mashiach is king. Don't miss that. Martha had good testimony at Lazarus' situation. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world." If they had been in the early ministry of Jesus, they could have heard the demons and even evil spirits as they acknowledge him. "What business do we have with each other? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Demons were coming out shouting, "You are the Son of God." Rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. How sad that people miss the question about Jesus now and miss the answers. Nowhere that I see is Jesus asked, "Are you God? Are you Son?" You can type in, quote, "God the Son." It's not in the Bible. You can type in, I won't go too far there. If saying he is at the right hand of Yahweh seems that he would not even qualify as the same as Yahweh. To a good Jew or an early Christian or even a demon, that could be absurd to think of the Messiah of God as God. In discussing the I Am passages of John James McGrath in his book, The Only True God, I highly recommend that. Discuss some of the current logic in trying to make Jesus God, Yahweh. This logic would be convincing, except for one crucial point. As C.K. Barrett has noted, rightly pointed out, it is intolerable to suggest that John presents Jesus as saying, "I am Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament." It would be intolerable, even absurd, to a good Jew or an early Christian. Think about it. We have so obfuscated the system with our creeds and so on and so forth. And Jesus simply said it right in John 10:36. Don't mess with what I'm saying, because I said, "I am the Son of God." Hallelujah. In reading the sevenfold description of Jesus from the seven churches of Asia Minor, I've already gone over that a little bit, was dead, Son of God, in charge of the Spirit. He is the ruler of the creation. The Greek is Revelation 1:5 also has that archi, archon. He's the ruler, beginner, whatever. He is top dog, folks, over us. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. As Kusha points out in before, Born Before All Time, and as others have noted, there's an ugly broad ditch between current Orthodox beliefs and the Bible. Between the language of dogmatics, Nicaea, Chalcedon, etc., etc., and the language of Scripture. The Christology in the making of the last 2,000 years has wandered quite far from the Word, dismissing Paul's admonition to not go beyond what was written. We've gone beyond what is written. Quote what you believe about Jesus from Scripture and let it resound in the ears. God raised him. He said he was the Son of God. God said he was the Son of God. Peter said he was the Son of God, the Christ, the Son of God. The demons have acknowledged him as the Holy One of God, the Son of God. So don't take my word for it. Read the Bible. Jesus speaks of my God 10 times. Term my Father 43 times. He's at the right hand of God 22 times. And so on and so on and so on and so on. It is intolerable since Jesus is so clear who he was. Kushel's discussion of, listen to this. This is the current state out there in traditionalism. Kermit Zarley likes to say traditionalism. In the traditionalist camps, there is incomprehensibility, complexity. This is page 59 in his book. And remoteness from life and the Bible are today the themes of a crisis of belief. What we should have is comprehensibility, simplicity, clearness, nearness to life in the Bible. McGrath rightly refutes Dunn's splitting of the Shema and Paul. Here I would argue we have before us an expanded Shema rather than a split Shema, rather than splitting the Shema to make room for Jesus. How about seating Jesus at the right hand of God? Hallelujah. I guess I get too excited over this. Yeah.
Something to get excited about.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Wade. Who are you? Who? Seems clear for Jesus. How about we won't be fooled again as a rallying cry? All right.